Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell, along with City Administrator Ben Mardik. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming in on a cold day. It's below zero, our first sub-zero day of the season, anyway.
Yeah. Nice and crisp out there.
You had a city council meeting last night. It was a big one, the last one of 2021, which means that you decided the 2022 budget and tax levy last night. Why don't we just start off with that, because it's kind of a big topic. You did have a public hearing. You heard from just a few people, not too many citizens spoke. But those are concerns that are certainly very valid, and I'm sure that you've heard probably from other people as well concerning, taxing. The levy went up 11.6% last night, and you heard some concerns about that. Tell us about, I know it was a difficult decision last night, but tell us your thought train about attacking this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. And just to help people know and understand, this is a budget process that started probably back in May for our city staff. The council got their first view of it back in August. So it's a really significant process that we undertake each year, 6 months long process, really looking at how do we move our city forward in a very strategic way and connecting our strategic plan that the council passed unanimously, and that our community members are really holding. They want a council that's going to keep their word and move forward those strategic plan related items that they've committed to do, right? We're there to move our community forward. And that means sometimes there's a financial commitment to that. And so that's really what you saw last night. And I'm just so appreciative for those that really want to view in their own time. There's a whole host of information on the city website, or you can watch the presentation that was given last night, because it was quite significant in terms of showing people the difference on how we align between different cities, not only with industrial property, but looking at, I think it said in there that we're 77% below the average estimated market value of our comparable cities. We're 13th out of 14 for estimated market value for industrial properties. I'm sorry, I'm going on and on here. Industrial property carries a higher tax rate, I believe, than residential property owners. And so in cities like Faribault or other cities that are around us that have greater industrial base, it affects when you raise taxes or bring in more dollars to be able to accomplish the needs of the community. It doesn't affect the residential homeowners as significantly as you see with us. The other thing that I would like to highlight in there is when we're comparing ourselves to other cities, we're also looking at how are we doing caring for the existing infrastructure that's here within the city. And over and over and over again, it shows that our debt our debt that we carry is less than our cities that we compare to. And so that really speaks to, are we keeping all of our facilities up to date? Are we keeping our roads up to date? I mean, it costs a significant amount of money to be able to care for the basic needs of the community. And there are two other things that I wanted to just say there, too, that a lot of times when we're looking at our budget, there's a significant correlation between the number of staff and the budget. And we were able to see last night, and thank you to city staff for bringing that forward, is that we really just brought the number of city staff up to 2002 levels. That's 20 years. And in 20 years, there was a significant decline and just very... it can be pretty significant, I would say, but we're just back up to 2002 levels, 20 years. And it just makes me wonder, over those years, right, you can't go back, but what would have happened? What would our community have looked like if we would have stayed consistent, steady with a number of staff? You would not be seeing this steep level of incline that people are really concerned about. And we are too, quite frankly. So I wanted to mention that in terms of as we're looking at our comparable cities, we are really taking all that into account. All of us sitting there, our taxes go up as well. So, but there's directly a correlation between the industrial properties and how that affects residential property owners, the number of staff. We are not overtaxing our community. And so the other one, the data point that I wanted to just point out to people, when you're looking at the number of dollars or the dollars that you pay for police, fire, streets, sewer, water, parks, I mean, there's a significant amount of dollars. Our library is another one that goes into operating the city, and not only for the people that live right here within our city borders, but we are a regional center as well. And if you look at the dollar amount that you set aside each month for all of those services, hands down, it's less than what a family would have to pay for a family cell phone service or internet. What was the other thing?
High-speed internet service bundle, bundle, yep.
So the services that our community is getting are really important to the overall safety, well-being of our community. We are hitting on just a diverse set of offerings for community members, and it's less than what you pay for a family cell phone package. And that, to me, that's a good use of our resources to meet the needs of just a wide variety of people that live within our community, as well as to stay relevant to make sure that we're moving forward as a city.
All right. Well stated. Let's move things over to Ben Martig now, our city administrator, and talk about a little more specifically the 2020 budget. We are going to have some additional employees here in Northfield, and much of the increase was due to that hiring of staff. Ben, maybe you can tell us a little bit about where that staffing is going and what the needs are and when they will be hired.
Yeah, so kind of to the mayor's point earlier, too, is that, you know, personnel is a driving cost. It's the largest part of our operating budget, obviously drives it. The council had some policy discussions along the way, too, to say, do we just keep, you know, over time adding these and having some more, you know, significant increases year after year, or do we just get some of these positions we've been talking about done? So that was really something that was discussed as well. Some of them, even with the percentage increase, when you looked at kind of dealing with all of them at once versus not, you're looking at like literally like a few dollars a month difference to the average taxpayer on a home as they're looking at that. So those are being looked at. But a couple of a few police department positions hitting it, where we have a data person that's being added, in records management person related to body camera implementation. We have a new patrol officer that was a result of a few years ago. We did a department analysis, and to the mayor's point, there was a study funded to determine what the staffing needs were of the police department. This puts us, after a few years, this puts us at that point. So we are now fully staffed based on that independent analysis done as part of the strategic plan. So we'll be able to deal with demand better within the police department, dealing with that position. Community development with economic development, to the mayor's point, the council talked about if we need to get that up and get our tax base growing, we know our current staffing is pretty spread thin, and so how do we really focus on that goal? So they're adding an economic development focused position within that department. We're also partnering with the Northfield Downtown Development Commission that we talked about before to merge some of that consulting work that we used for their executive director, bring it in-house, and then also take on some planning needs within the department, including things like the heritage preservation in the downtown district and other work to help facilitate development applications that are coming through. Spanish translation related to our equity goals as a city. We have a halftime translator who has just been really phenomenal in doing translation, audio, video, written communication, and this, and also interacting with customers that we have too. They've been helpful, but they're very limited in time. So this puts them up to a full-time position with that. Our engineering department, I think, was $34 million, I think it was, that we have in projects that we're trying to process through, so it will provide additional assistance. Some of that funding is actually coming within specific project funds. So we'll be doing that offset with engineering fees. And then our station manager for Northfield Public Broadcasting, just I see this in many cities, is that there's just a greater demand for communication, and Northfield's been trying to catch up too on getting more investment with the communications department. We have a halftime person who's really kind of focused on our video productions. They also help with our public meetings. We're trying to improve the broadcasting quality and production of our public meetings for the public to watch. And so that'll go from a halftime to a full-time position. So quite a number of positions in the, you know, again, the council talked about, do we phase these over time or do we just get these done that we've talked about? And so that's kind of the focus of a number of those positions that we've got included in the budget.
All right. And just a quick aside, we did have Sam Temple on yesterday. He appears on KYMN Monthly, and he talked about the need and where that need went. So, folks, if you'd like, that's available on our website if you'd like to listen to that particular interview. All right. You know, we could go in depth and in length, but we don't have the time going into the budget and also the tax levy. But let me just give you a chance. Is there anything about the budget or tax levy that we haven't mentioned that you'd like to tell the taxpayers of Northfield?
I would just say, too, is that we didn't mention it, but it was a 7-0 unanimous vote of the mm-hmm. city council, too, and that doesn't happen very often either, and in every single one of them, as the mayor said, takes it very seriously, and so I think that speaks to the process and to the justification of the difficult decision that the council has as policymakers to support that. So
yeah,
that was just one thing. I know we didn't note the voting, but I thought I would mention. I don't know if the mayor has anything else.
And I'd also like to add, they all had some very good questions and concerns that they brought forward mm-hmm. as well, and we don't have time to get into that, but maybe sometime in the future we can do that. Mm-hmm. I want to talk, because we have just a few minutes left, I want to talk about a couple other things that were going on last night at the council meeting. One is regarding our next-door neighbor here at the Archer House. You took some action on that. tell, is it clear to go now? Was that the final demolition order? Or?
Well, actually, the council doesn't order the demolition. That really mm-hmm. comes through the Heritage Preservation Commission. What the council did last night was they approved it's a little confusing. It was confusing to me, too, and so I was asking lots of questions beforehand. But the title was a demolition and development agreement. And really what the resolution, the information was last night, is just preserves the ability for the city council to utilize tax increment financing redevelopment dollars for that project if the developers were to seek TIF assistance as they move forward. And that determination needed to happen before the building were to come down. So it was really key that we get it done last night. That's really the simplified version of it. The resolution was very specific, a lot of detail in there, as well as the development and demolition agreement, but there will be, as we move forward, there'll be additional opportunities for the council, the HPC, to give guidance and direction on the actual project or what would be built in the Archer House's place as we move forward.
All right. Anything to add to that?
One thing on that, again, I know TIF is tax increment financing is confusing sometimes for people, but this would not be impacting, if the city council, which I expect we will be exploring this, decides to offer that incentive with a developer, it's really capturing the new tax value that a new development might create. It's not taking away from existing properties, but allows them to kind of capture that new value that would come back with the development to incentivize the improvement of that project. And one thing in this particular case is a tool. We know that the public's very concerned about the historical value that was lost and the uniqueness of this building that's in the community, and how do we ensure that it is really a quality development that we'll be proud of as a community and will be lasting into the future and hopefully have many new redeeming qualities that maybe the old Archer House didn't even have. And so this incentive tool that the council will allow the council to have a say in that and to potentially be an incentive to ensure that some of those improvements can actually happen. So it's a little complicated on TIF, but the council had to adopt a resolution to even offer a tool, to even have that tool before it would be demolished. And so the council preserved that right tonight. That's really, or last night, that was really the only step that was achieved. And as to the mayor's point, there will be a lot of input from the council as it goes forward, as we get excited about what might be happening there. The developer owners were there last night. Mm-hmm. They haven't even selected their architects to help them, and they're still kind of determining what the project scope might be on their vision. But they got local ownership. They're committed to development, and I think those are two positive things with where we're at today.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Mayor, yes, you're correct. That is rather complicated and confusing.
Yes.
We're just about out of time, but what else? You'd mentioned one other thing you wanted to bring up while we're in here, and I forgot what that was.
Yeah, our partnership with the Youth on Boards program and the Mayor's Youth Council. I'll let the mayor maybe just comment about that. That program, and we basically are extending it another 3 years with our partnership with HCI.
Yeah, it's very exciting to see that continue to move forward. It really helps to ensure that the Youth on Boards program, I think we are at a little over 90 youth serving on boards and commissions and committees throughout the city. And their youth, as we're like 49% of the city is like 24 and younger. Wow, that's pretty significant. Mm. Okay, that's half the population, folks, right? I mean, it makes sense, right, that you need to take that into account. It's a driving force of our community, and I love it. I absolutely love it. Our youth are active, they're engaged, they care about the community, and that really benefits all of us. They're our future leaders. It's beneficial when we all take a sense of ownership in your community, and one of the ways that the city is really helping to move that forward is inviting the youth right onto our boards, commissions, committees. And just really want to say thank you to all the other adult community leaders that are out there that have been welcoming and to the youth on the boards and have made space for them and for their voice and their opinions. So it's great partnership with HCI, the school district, Youth Prize, and the multitude of, I think it must be over 20 different board, commission, and committees out there that have made space for our youth right there at the table when decisions are being made.
All right. Wow, we've gone through a lot. You actually went through a lot last night with a lot of big milestones. No more meetings in 2020. Is there no more council meetings? Do you have work sessions or anything planned for the rest of the month?
Yeah, we normally, this is normally the end of our year, but mm-hmm. we actually have another meeting next week. So we're going to talk, we have to move out of the council chambers because we're doing some safety improvements and it was scheduled and we don't normally meet. But we have wages to finalize next week. We have a labor contract to approve that we've been waiting on. And also going to be talking about some of the Bridge Square discussions that we've been having. So we're going to be at the NCRC building and having our last regular council business of the year. And then next week, the council will be having our holiday social and recognition and encourage the public on Thursday of next week at 4 o'clock, I believe, or abouts there. We'll have an open house at the library atrium. So that'd be a time to come celebrate with the council, meet your elected leaders, and have some holiday cheer.
All right. Holiday cheer. That sounds fun. Yes. It is the season.
Yes,
all
it
right.
is.
Thank you so much for coming in. Much appreciated. Yeah. And we will talk to you again next week then.
All right. Sounds great.
Thanks,
all right. Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Bardig.